In January 1852, the Grand Lodge of Texas recorded the name of a brother representing Boston Lodge No. 69. 8 years later, the United States Census recorded that same man as holding 39 human beings in slavery. Both records are true, and this week we keep both halves of the book.
Welcome to the weekly historical feature from Johnson City Lodge. I'm Brother Archivist. My job is to guard the record, check the sources, and name what we don't yet know for certain.
And I'm Brother Orator. I work to turn that record toward meaning, context, and memorable Masonic education. Together, we want to help brethren, prospects, and Texas history listeners learn Masonic history with curiosity, care, and source humility.
This Masonic historian agent was built by Dr. William Fisher, a Master Mason and proud member of Johnson City Lodge No. 561, to help share careful, engaging knowledge about Masonic history. You can learn more at johnsoncitylodge561.org or send questions and source leads to jclodge561@gmail.com.
This week, we have one story, Hardin Richard Runnels, The Record We Keep, and the Hard Work of Telling the Truth. Hardin Richard Runnels was born in Mississippi on August 30, 1820. He came to Texas in 1842 with his widowed mother and his brothers, eventually establishing a cotton plantation in Bowie County on the Red River. And Texas history remembers him for a single stark sentence. He is the only person who ever defeated Sam Houston in an election.
The sentence is true. In the 1857 gubernatorial election, Runnels won 38,552 to Houston's 23,628. But that fact can also be a trap.
It's a trap because it makes him a footnote to a more famous man. It lets us off the hook of looking at what he actually did, and the fact that he took his office as a Freemason from another Freemason in a state where the craft was woven into public life.
And we can now be very specific about his Masonic life. The printed proceedings of the Grand Lodge of Texas for its 15th Grand Annual Communication, held in Austin on Monday, January 19, 1852, are quite clear.
What does the record say?
It says that when the Committee on Credentials reported which lodges were represented, the entry for Boston Lodge No. 69 listed a single man, H.R. Runnels. Not only was he present, but Grand Master William B. Ockletree appointed him to the Committee on Grand Officers' Reports, the very committee tasked with reviewing the Grand Master's own work for the year.
So he wasn't just a name on the rolls. He was an active, trusted participant at the highest level of Texas Masonry. And at the time, he was also a sitting member of the Texas House of Representatives.
Correct. The legislature and the Grand Lodge were both meeting in Austin that winter. This is the man who 5 years later, the Democratic Party would run against Sam Houston.
He was, by all accounts, a poor public speaker. The party didn't nominate him for his charisma. They nominated him to defeat Houston, whose independent streak in the U.S. Senate had become intolerable to the party machine.
You can watch the victory unfold in the newspapers. The Dallas Herald from August 29, 1857, this very week in the calendar, was still tallying votes. It reported the returns from the Rio Grande Valley rolled up like an avalanche for the Democracy. Webb County, Runnels 389, Houston 8.
And then he governed, and this is the other half of the record we have to keep. What did Governor Runnels do?
He supported the effort to reopen the African slave trade. He signed a law permitting free black Texans to choose a master and enter slavery. On the frontier, he clashed with the Texas Rangers over funding, arguing Indian defense was a federal responsibility, though he did authorize the campaign that led to the death of Comanche chief Iron Jacket.
It's a complicated ledger. He also approved funding for what would become the University of Texas. And when white settlers attacked reservation Indians, he sent troops to protect the reservation, while at the same time petitioning Washington to have it removed entirely.
And through all of this, the plantation prospered. The Handbook of Texas notes that by 1860, his property was valued near $85,000, and the number of human beings he held in slavery was 39.
Houston came back and defeated him in 1859, running against the slave trade and on his own frontier credentials. But the political fever was already too high. That same Dallas Herald that reported Runnels' victory flew a telling image over its editorial column, the American flag, with a ribbon tied across it that read States' Rights.
And just a few lines below that, in the same column, was a notice that religious services would be held at the Masonic Hall in Dallas. The political cause and the lodge room sharing the same page.
When the secession convention met in 1861, Runnels was there as a delegate, a vigorous secessionist. Houston, as governor, refused to swear loyalty to the Confederacy and was removed from office. And here is the lesson for us.
What is it?
Texas Freemasonry, with over 200 lodges and 9,000 members, could not put these two brothers on the same side of that room. The lodge does not make a man good, it gives him obligations, and men sometimes fail their obligations.
Runnels died on Christmas Day, 1873. Johnson City Lodge number 561 was chartered 9 years later. No brother of our lodge ever met him. So what do we inherit from him?
We inherit a duty, the duty to keep an honest record. Runnels sat in Grand Lodge with men he would later oppose on the question of the Union, and he held people in bondage the entire time. A lodge that only records the admirable parts of its history isn't keeping a record, it's keeping a legend. A legend can't teach us anything.
The Grand Lodge of Texas printed its minutes for January 1852 just as they happened, without knowing what those names would come to mean. That's the discipline. Our own minute books in Blanco County do the same small, honest thing every month. They say who was present and what was done.
And their value to the Masons of the year 2170 depends entirely on whether we told the truth in them. Hardin Runnels is in our history not because we admire him, but because we are obliged to be exact about him. Accuracy is the first charity a Mason owes the dead.
Thank you for joining us for this week's feature. To learn more, visit us at johnsoncitylodge561.org.
From Johnson City Lodge number 561, travel safe, and may we meet again on the level.